Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 98th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today's episode is going to be strange. EJ and I are talking about the latest entry in the MCU, Doctor Strange. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. Joining me in the banter is my co-host, movie critic EJ Marino. It's soapbox time, because we went to MegaCon Tampa this past weekend, and I had a good time. It was packed. They had a good audience, a nice crowd, a good size arena for the event. But then, like, I paid $20 for a Rob Liefeld signature to get an interview, like a quote. And my thing is he worth $20? And then also, he was charging $60 for New Mutants 87 and New Mutants 98. And I get if you're trying to turn a profit, I would charge you $60 for that. If you're going to get the CGC right afterwards, like $60. But if you're a fan and you bought this book back in 1989 and you've been a fan of Liefeld your whole entire life, and then you've got bought all this shit and dealt with all the crap of him being a crappy artist, and then you got to pay $60 to get the book signature, especially when it was a second print, I find that kind of annoying. So I know there's a middle ground on charging for signatures because the artist needs to make money. I get that. I understand that. But $60? That's out of control.
I'll start my soapbox little thing with that because I feel like he's a good enough artist or a big enough name to charge amount. But also, these should be guys who aren't getting paid what he gets paid to just show up at these events. I know his booking fee is not cheap. He does not come cheap at all, especially of how he was there and how he kind of had this aura about him. I know he didn't come there cheap. So for him to charge that much, I'm like, there's low budget artists down here who really need the money. And they're going to go to you and spend $60 where they can spend $60 on getting 3 comic book signs and a commission thing from an independent artist down there. That was my thing with that was you make too much money. You shouldn't be charging this much money at a convention.
Well, that's the thing is it was Tampa MegaCon. If it was San Diego Comic-Con, I've talked to him for like hours and nobody's come up to his booth. Because he's a big fish in a small pond in Tampa MegaCon, but then you put him in at San Diego Comic-Con with 300,000 people and movie stars and Hollywood stars, and nobody even gives him the time of day. And I have it sitting on my wall right now. I'm looking up to it. Like, I have an Obama comic that he signed for free for me, you know? And so I get that if some people have it where if you buy something from him, you get the autograph for free. Get that. That's fair. $60, though, just for an autograph? Out of control.
Yeah, and it was strange, and that was kind of my first interaction with him. And to think about it, he reminds me of Deadpool. he has a little bit of a Deadpool personality to him, so that's interesting. I think he fits the character that he's best known for.
Do you have a soapbox, my friend?
I have it's not even really a soapbox, but it's just trying to get people out there. I've been really into American Horror Story this season. It's gone into this crazy, very self-referential, like, found footage aspect. I really think people should watch it. Go back. It's about to end. We're on the last 2 episodes, but if you can on FX, try to watch it from the beginning. This season has been great. It's American Horror Story, Roanoke. It's kind of a murder mystery, ghost story. It's really interesting. Please, people, go watch it. I really like it.
And my little promo right here, Sing Street is on iTunes for 99 cents right now. And I watched it last night. It's a really good movie. It's one of the best movies of 2016. It's set in 1985, Ireland, and it deals with all like the futurist music of that era. And it's a really good, it's like Irish Glee.
That sounds actually beautiful. Like, you were already saying like this era of music coming out, and then you said Irish Glee, and I'm like, sold.
Yeah, it's 99 cents on iTunes. Go watch it because, you know, we're in November and December. We're going to be doing Best of 2016. And this is definitely a movie I'm going to talk about. So if you want to know what I'm talking about, go watch it on iTunes right now. And iTunes, if you want to give me some money, that's great for that free advertisement. But Doctor Strange is upon us. And EJ and I have two different opinions of it, kind of, sort of. Even though by the end of it, he's going to say he liked it and it's one of his best MCU movies that he's ever seen.
It is a movie I have seen from the MCU. That is my statement for it. No, it is. I said it in my review. It's one of my favorite first films from any of their characters. I'll start out with some of my compliments for it before I get into just me being the not nice person. Really thought it was a great introduction of Strange. Really cool there. There's some other problems I had later on with Strange, but I thought it was a good introduction for sure.
I enjoy the film. I looked at it, and I think that we should kind of go through this at one point in time during the podcast. I have it in my top five of MCU films just because it's the most original MCU film that I've ever seen. Because I'm actually going to say that the MCU is now a genre because they have their stamp on it, and that's what they're doing. So I now put MCU films in their own genre, and that's what they are. And this was the most original of the MCU. Plus, I'm a huge cosmic universe fan, and so that bit with Dormammu, and they showed those two scenes, the introduction scene and then the end scene. That, guess what, guys? That's where the fucking Marvel zombies come from. And if we ever make it down that track, like, that's where you're going to get the Marvel zombies, and there was, like, a little glimpse of that universe, and that stuff always gets me jazzed up. And with Doctor Strange, I thought Benedict Cumberbatch is Robert Downey Jr. light.
And no, he's like a diet Robert Downey Jr. for sure in this, but is that them grooming him to take over later?
No, but I don't think you'll ever have the charisma of Robert Downey Jr. So you're always going to get like a light version of him with Benedict Cumberbatch. The only person that I loved as an actor in this film is Benedict Wong as Wong. Like, he is, I love him in Marco Polo as Genghis Khan. Like, he was one of the actors that I was super excited to see in this film. Everybody else, I was like, I got the generic performances that I was going to get from them.
Well, he was by far my favorite supporting actor in this. I think he played his role and what they gave him very well. I didn't really know him going into this, but I did know his character kind of had this really messed up backstory of, like, just in the comics, he's kind of been like the Asian servant to Doctor Strange. So I'm glad they made him a stronger character and gave him an arc, because I think he had a better arc in this movie than any of their villains did. But for me, my favorite actress in this movie is Tilda Swinton. And I know you have you're definitely negatives towards her in this movie, but she really played the role so great. She was stern and cold, but she was also kind of funny, and she played what I thought the Ancient was going to play.
You said stern and cold. I will agree with that. But as far as the Ancient One and being this mystic legend, I was not getting that vibe from her. I thought that, you know, like you said, I kind of thought she was stiff, and I think everybody was kind of stiff as far as the acting went. And that could be the director's fault, not bringing out the best in everybody. But I just didn't get the vibe that she was the end-all, be-all Sorcerer Supreme and from it.
I got the complete opposite. I thought she came off so ethereal and so commanding, and but also kind of this down-to-earth version. Very like, she reminded even me of Morpheus from The Matrix. She felt like that. She was kind of cocky, like, you're dumb, I don't want to deal with you, but also I know you're kind of a chosen one. And as you say it, you don't think she's going to, you know, you don't take her as this all-end Sorcerer Supreme, and guess what? She kind of doesn't. She's not the Sorcerer Supreme. So I think that kind of fit her arc, that she didn't come off as strong.
Yeah, but
because
the opening,
she wasn't.
But the opening era, the opening scene where they kind of meet and there's kind of this conversation, she comes off as the Ancient One in the beginning because, you know, Doctor Strange is like all cocky and questioning and blah, blah, and she puts him in the place, puts him in his place. And then that just kind of stops after that.
I think she starts learning that he's learning, and I think that goes with the dynamic that as he's growing and getting more comfortable with her, Chiwetel's character is starting to get further away from her. So she's starting to connect to Doctor Strange more, where she got a little colder to Chiwetel's Mordor character. I thought that was interesting. I don't know why like people aren't really vibing on her, because I really thought she was the Ancient One to me. I know there's all this controversy with her casting, but I think she did well with what she was given. And I don't know, I got to see Tilda Swinton play a bald Celtic woman. That's kind of all I wanted in a film.
But she wasn't really Celtic.
No, they didn't harp on that. And I think that's a fault within the script as well, because there was way more backstory that we could have gave her. And she was a really full character that I was already getting what they were. I felt this from her, but I wanted it explained. But that's a major flaw I had with this movie, is I wanted more things explained. I don't want you to put major rules on your magic, but I kind of want to know what happens with your magic. And that didn't happen in this movie. I think we went through two movies of Harry Potter where we're learning how this goes and how their magic works before we're thrusted into it. And this one is just like, well, here it goes. And I'm like, but what does this do? But what does this do? But what does that do? So that was kind of confusing for me with that. So that goes what I said. Like, I just needed more things explained.
And see, I thought this is where they learned from Thor, where the Asgardians had magic, but they used their magic was explained as a higher level of technology. And that just pissed me off. I thought Doctor Strange handled magic 10 times better than the Marvel Universe has used and ever before. I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get it. Multiverse, pulling in some power, and that's where they kind of get their constructs from. But then I was also like, this is kind of like Green Lantern's power.
It did get really Green Lantern for a while, but I also think with like the Thor comment, if you start off at zero with what Thor did for what their magic was, we're going to go up no matter what. Doctor Strange could have had like one wand of poof of magic and we would have been like, oh, that's better than we got in Thor. So yeah, I think our expectations for magic in this universe were so low because Thor really did ruin their Greek mythology, crazy magical universe by just making it science based. And I think it's interesting that Marvel's kind of threw that out, that whole realism out, and they're starting to get more cartoony. And that's interesting because maybe that'll make me like them a little bit more if we start realizing how over the top we are.
You said Greek mythology. It's Norse.
Sorry, Norse mythology. But yeah, whatever.
I didn't want the I didn't want the nerds to attack you. I was just trying to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, I always forget. I always have to think of Odin, and I know he's like that Norse god. So I'm like, let me remember. But yeah, I always go Greek or Roman.
I can't wait till they introduce Hercules in the Marvel universe, because he's just like a drunk guy who wants to fight. Like, he's one of my favorite like sidebar MCU characters, and I really hope they introduce him one of these days.
He would definitely go great with what they've done with this Thor as well, with that like drunk fighting. I think that would be interesting.
But for me, Doctor Strange was a comic book. Like, this felt like a comic book, and I watched the comic book, and a superhero comic book. I know that the comic book industry is now a set different whole bunch of different genres. It's just not one type now. But like, I enjoyed this because I like looked at it. I was like, comic book origin, hurts his hands, gets powers, bad guy, cosmic universe, crazy ending that I actually thought was original compared to all the other stuff that's going on, and kind of thought out well.
Which ending? Because I felt this movie had two endings, and we're going to get into spoiler territory. If you're listening to a Doctor Strange podcast, you should know we're going to have to talk about it. So yeah, which ending? Because I felt like they had that big reverse fight scene, and then they had the Dormammu like finale. So which one were you talking about?
I was talking about the Dormammu.
And I hated that so much. That honestly angered me of what they did with that ending. I know you say it's original, and I think it was the laziest cop-out of a ending.
I think when you start getting into this, ends up with the bringing me back to Contact and not ever being able to see the fucking aliens in Contact.
Contact is a flawless movie. I would not handle this Jodie Foster behavior right now.
But when you start getting into this epic territory of cosmic characters that are reality altering and can do all the, you know, crush worlds, crush universes at a time. Like, it's more of a concept than it actually is an action scene.
Yeah, but it felt like Groundhog's Day. And I think what really pissed me off was, is Dormammu's this massive being who will never die and he can do this forever. How long was Doctor Strange annoying him for that he just gave up? I think that's what upset me. I was like, Dormammu could do this forever and ever and he will not care.
So
Why is he getting pissed?
So if they did it for like a century.
If that would have been explained to me as it was a century of them doing it, I would have been like, damn, okay, I get it. But it just really felt like it a day at the longest that he was doing this. Because I know time worked differently where he was to what it was in the fight scene. So I think that's what really upset me. I was like, this is a being who will never die. How is he getting pissed by a constant loop? How does he not know a way around this? Like, it felt to me the end of Guardians of the Galaxy where he's dancing off. And I'm like, this is how we're going to end this movie, with a dance off? Like, it was so upsetting to me.
But it wasn't a dance off. It was a distraction. He's like, why are you dancing? To distract you. Well, we create this big bomb in the background and Rocket Raccoon blows your ass up.
It just goes with, it wants to play for a joke for instead of serious tension. And I think that's what really upsets me. Where the fight scene right before, where it's this reverse fight scene and it's awesome, that would have been so, so cool. But this went that Green Lantern, Parallax, Fantastic Four, ridiculous, like, let's just have a big, huge being that's coming over and attacking us. It's a stupid trope we've been doing.
It's not a trope. It's called the cosmic universe.
Yes, but it didn't have a place in here. And it really felt like an added on extra thing to add more to this movie, which did not need to be as long as it was and had way too much extra subplots and things that did not matter. Like Rachel McAdams' character, just write her out. She didn't need to be in there. Dormammu's character, write him out. He didn't need to be in there. Focus these movies more, Marvel. I would actually like them. Give me a focused, concise piece instead of just doing what they do.
I mean, this was kind of like the plot of like Ghostbusters, where like a few minions go and try to get the big monster to come over to this universe. I mean, we've seen this plot before, but for me, it was a comic book. It was a Doctor Strange comic book that I would have read and I would have enjoyed. And I would have been like, okay, and that's the way it works. His characters come in and out. Like, they talk about Rachel McAdams not being a strong female lead and what's going on here and there. I mean, like, she was the only person that cared about Doctor Strange, and he was an asshole to her. And, you know, I felt like there was, and then he went back and was like, listen, I was an asshole. And then, you know, they kind of just, she was like, fuck you, I'm done with you, you know? I mean, and so I felt like, and they talk about how she's not a strong female. She did. She didn't go whining back to Doctor Strange and be like, oh, I love you, blah, blah. And they go gallivant off into whatchamacallit.
To me, it felt just like nerds and assholes need to be reminded that women are into them. So we keep putting these characters in there to have this stupid love interest. She's Jane Foster and Thor. She's Pepper Potts. She's an unnecessary character in these films. And if they would have gave her a stronger arc, yeah, I didn't like that she instantly went back with him. But
she didn't instantly go back with him. He had a hole in his chest, and she's like, yeah, I got to do my job as a doctor.
Yeah, but that was still such a little way of getting them to reconnect. I just felt it was so tired and just so useless in this movie. And it really took away with, we could have focused more on giving Chiwetel Ejiofor's character more heart and more depth. So when we give this kind of twist at the end, I actually believed it and cared. Because by the end, I'm like, you didn't use him this whole movie. Same thing with Mads Mikkelsen's villain. If we would have taken away from Rachel McAdams' story, given it to those two guys, we would have gave our villain and a secondary character / future villain an actual arc and story to care about. But nope, we did Rachel McAdams and Dormammu, because that's just what we do in Marvel.
Oh, that's just what we do in Marvel? I think that's bullshit. That's not true. That's not true. I mean, I agree with you that Baron Mordo, he needed, you know, for this movie to be like an epic film, to be, you know, I want to say Oscar worthy. Like, if you saw what happened to no, but
you
I
said,
mean, like,
you said, in, you said Marvel and Oscar in the same sentence, and I just had to chuckle.
You know, it, I mean,
I, sorry, you just opened that one up.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, it's not opening up, because you like horror films. You like Zack Snyder. Like, if you ever say Oscar at that point in time, I'll be like, I'm not going to say
Silence of the Lambs has an Oscar. That's a horror film. If not Zack Snyder, but Christopher Nolan got his Batman movie nominated. I haven't seen Marvel there yet.
Okay. Oh, okay. Number one, Christopher Nolan's Batman is not in the DC extended universe.
It's still, we're going to talk about all of the genres then. At least we've had one Oscar-nominated superhero movie, and it's been a DC one.
Okay, if we're going to go with your loose logic, The Incredibles is fucking amazing, and that is part of Disney, which is part of Marvel, which is part of the MCU. So The Incredibles is fucking better than your bullshit.
I will say The Incredibles is a way better movie than any other superhero movie. You got me there. You win that argument.
But no, what I was trying to say is any film, if we're trying to establish like the bar, and the bar is Oscars, you know, that's where the bar is. Because I've always shredded the first Avengers film because it had points in the film where it could have taken it to the epic film that it could have been, like a Braveheart or something like that. And so what I was going to say is with Baron Mordo, if you saw his family die, if you saw how he got to where he was, how he was destroyed, if they came up together, if Doctor Strange and Mordo came up together and you saw their story arcs then diverge at that point in time when they did, then you're like, okay, that's, again, I'm huge on rewriting films and making them better. But this is a comic book movie. And what I want to do is I want to enjoy it. The same thing goes with the DC Extended Universe. I want to enjoy those movies because I'm a fan. And I'm a fan of the MCU. And I hate to say it, guys, I'm a fan of both. And I know we're in this very divisive time where you can either like one or the other. You know, I want the DC Extended Universe to be better because I want to enjoy them. You know, there are some flaws with the MCU movies, but they're trying to make money so that they can make more of them. And so you have to compromise certain things here and there. Like, I'm not going to see, you know, death and despair and R-ratedness, you know, but then 20th Century Fox needs to make money. So they've moved in a different direction with their R-rated movies. So it's in their best interest as a business to what they're doing. And I get it. I understand what they're doing. And for me, I want to enjoy the films. And so that's why I kind of go in like, would that be a comic book that I've read? Yes, that would be a comic book. Would that be a good comic book? And I'm like, yes. If I watched the Doctor Strange take on Dormammu in the pages and it went by and he was killed all these different ways in the comic book, each one of those panels, I would stare and be like, oh, shit, he's dead again. Oh, shit, he's dead again. Like if it was, because he died, what, 12 times maybe, or maybe 20 times? If that was 20 panels in a comic book, that would seem like a very long time in the comic book because that would have been 3 or 4 pages of him getting killed. And then just and I know that things move quickly in the film, but that's kind of how they jump around in comic books. So as a comic book movie, I enjoyed it.
And to go back to something you said earlier, to nail it on the head, that is a problem I have with Marvel, is because they could be way better. I said it in my review. They had glimmers of a great piece here. I really thought they had that thing with Baron Mordo. They could have sent that further. And that's what I think pisses me off the most about them, is because I see them and I just know that you said they're here to make money so they can make the next one to make money, to make the next one to make money. I get business. I'm an art-minded person before a business-minded person. So I'm always going to be angry that they're going to sacrifice making a different piece and something a little bit more meaty to make something that makes money. I get it. It's Disney / Marvel. Make your change. I just want them to make better movies. And while you said, and I will agree, I think this is a great comic book movie and probably one of the more interesting ones I've ever seen, I just didn't like it because it still feels like the same McDonald's kind of movie. It's just like, oh,
but they were all written by the same exact person and group. So, I mean, like, you're going to, like we talked about, you know, you're going to get the guy with the goatee. He's going to injure himself. He's going to feel sorry for himself. He's going to get powers. He's going to try to redeem himself. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with Spider-Man. Like, rattle off every hero in their origin. They're pretty much the same exact origin. Like, Iron Fist has the same exact origin. Like, I mean, like, it's just,
That goes back to lazy original comic book writing, and I feel like film should adapt it better and to not go to another brand. But that's what I've liked with the DC movies is Zack Snyder, the newer ones, he's taken all these old stories and just made his own shit and was just like, I'm doing whatever I want to do. Because I like that he took comic books and said, cool, that's what they did. I'm going to do it differently. Marvel's done it as well. They've done something differently, but I just not like what they've done with their comic books.
And you're calling the thing that I love boring shit, and that really bothers me a lot.
I know. That's why I've never been a comic book reader fan. I've been a comic book movie fan. I think my first experience with comic books was Batman 1989, and that's what got me into wanting to read these comics. So I started as a film fan before a reader fan. So that's one thing I've always noticed with the genre, especially Marvel films. I think a lot – or Marvel comics. I think a lot of their characters are very similar, and – it just kind of went with Stan Lee was doing, and hey, he banked on it and it's made his claim, so it's awesome, but I've just never really liked it. But I always have to do another asterisk because I don't hate all Marvel stuff. I love all of the Fox movies. I've loved what the 90s Blade and some of the other ones they did, even Howard the Duck. So I don't hate all Marvel movies. It's just these MCU Disney-produced ones, especially after Disney, because Iron Man 1's not bad. But once Disney got involved after like Iron Man 2 and later, that's where I started hating.
And why do you gotta use the word hate? That bothers me. But I also, I want to say, and I don't want to, I mean, it's my birthday. I don't want to get mad. I don't want to be a fucking curmudgeon. But there was a time when we had nothing. And I don't think you appreciate the fact that we're getting all these films right now. Like there could be, you know, they're going to go back in the vault and there's going to go back to another time where it's like, there's not going to be any superhero films for like 20 years or 30 years or whatever. But like, this is like the golden age of superhero cinema. And we're never going to see another time like this.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel you because I'm losing my American horror films being the good place to watch horror movies. I've lost that probably since after the 80s and the 70s, having great eras of stuff. And now looking what I have now and I'm like, this is shit. So I've gone to four foreign films. So I definitely understand that like you're very happy to have this golden age. And I don't want to be the asshole that's like, oh, I don't want any movies. Because look, that's my thing is these are still well-produced movies. They have good acting. They do what they need to do. And I'm glad Marvel's making movies. I just don't like them. I don't ever want them to not make money. But I don't want to like them. I can't. And so that's my difference.
Well, that's what I see. See that right there bothering me because you said I can't like them, and I'm just like, you walk into a film like that, it just bothers me. It just bothers me so much.
I can't like them until they change, and I know that's kind of not fair for me to want a brand to change, but for them to make a movie that I'm gonna fully love, I need it to change. Like
I'm not even looking for you to fully love the film. I'm looking for you to just kind of walk in. And we're going to continue this stupid conversation. I really hate it so much. But like, I mean, earlier in the week, you're like, oh, MCU movie. And then it's like, then you're like, oh, it's an MCU movie. And like, I'm a negative curmudgeon. And I know that my negativity affects everything. Whether it's a screening or a movie or whatever. It's I'm not happy with the DC movies that are being made right now. But I'm going to support him. Like, I went and saw Elektra. I donated my money to Elektra because I knew that if I give money there, I even saw Catwoman in the theater. Like, I saw all these movies in the theater because I want them to make more. Not saying that they're good, but I'm saying that, like, I went in with an open mind to Catwoman. I was like, maybe there'll be something that'll surprise me in a good way. And, you know, it is from there, but, like, you're either a fan of the genre or you're not a fan. It's almost like if I went into every horror film and was like, oh, fucking horror movies, blah, blah, blah.
If you actually went into horror films, you just don't watch them.
Because I get scared. I get scared.
I understand that. But no, I will go into all of these. Look, I paid to see Batman v Superman multiple times after. I love the genre. I love superhero movies. I just need them to be done in a way I can do it. You know how many times I've seen Watchmen? I think that is a flawless, perfect example of what comic book movies should be. And that's why I won't support the Marvel brand because I don't want to give them money.
You just contradicted yourself.
Why?
Because you like Batman versus Superman in the Zack Snyder universe because he does things differently. The Watchmen is verbatim the comic book.
Well, I think that's – well, no, I don't think it's verbatim. He completely changed the whole ending of that film. He took a lot of heart out of the characters. No, I think Zack Snyder – trust me, look at Alan Moore's opinion on that film. He hates it, though he hates everything because he's an old grumpy wizard. But
the best part of The Watchmen was the opening scene where –
which is shot for shot, basically.
No. The opening scene is where he goes and does his own thing. I think it's like a Bob Dylan tune playing. And
with the opening credits?
The opening credits is just brilliant. And then it goes shot for shot after that.
And it's not just the movie itself. It's the tone. It's the maturity level. It's what the topics we're dealing with. I just have never got any of that from a Marvel movie. I will always say Winter Soldier is the closest one. Winter Soldier I will give an 8 out of 10 for because I really enjoyed that piece. It felt like the Manchurian Candidate told through superheroes. That's all I needed. That's all I wanted. Where you get into Doctor Strange and you have all these mystics and you have these tales of arrogance and it's fluffy and it's fun and Mad Michelson's making jokes and Doctor Strange is making jokes about Wi-Fi. It's weird. It just doesn't connect with me. And I
don't understand why the Wi-Fi joke stayed in the movie.
I don't know why the Wi-Fi joke stayed in the Beyonce joke. There's a lot of like really weird jokes. The only one I laughed out loud when Tilda Swinton pushes him through like the astro plane and she's like, here, you've seen that in a gift shop before? I was just like, that's sarcasm. That's what we should do a little bit more of. I don't want to. I think the problem is like the jokes take away from some of the cool scenes that they're doing. The first time the two villains, you know, the villain and the good guy meet, they have a name confusion joke. And I'm like, Mad Michelson's like possessed by the devil, like this crazy entity, and you're just giving me like jokes. I just didn't get it. And that goes with Marvel, one, upsetting villains. They do not know how to handle villains. And I'm a villain guy. So I think that's where I've kind of
I know you're a villain guy. Like, but I vilify you every day.
Well, yeah, but to make a better hero, we need a great villain. Look what we've done with Magneto in the X-Men movies. Look what we've done with the Joker in any incarnation of the Joker. Hell, I'll take Mr. Freeze over Ant-Man's Yellow Jacket, Ronin, Whiplash. God, there's shitty villains in these movies. And I think we want our hero's journey to be so good, we weaken our villains. And I think that's another thing, like you said, that can make these movies Oscar-worthy is by giving you a better villain. Because that's what made The Dark Knight so good, is we had this great superhero against this evil being. That's a classic story. We don't get these in Marvel movies. Loki was a great example of it, though, and that's one of the few things I liked about Avengers, is I'm like, holy shit, Loki's like, he's keeping up with them. They're not lessening him to put over their good guys, and that's what I need way more of. Because these movies have potential to be amazing films, but they just keep being summer blockbuster movies.
Right. And I mean, I think that's kind of what, I mean, there's only a few like great comic books, you know, where they differentiate themselves from the comic book world. And I mean, I enjoy reading, but it's like, what do you go to the cinema to do? Like what, you know, I mean like, okay, I know you want to go through the emotional gambit, this and that, but I mean like, do I want to be crying during Doctor Strange? I mean, is that what I want to be doing? Or do I want to just be like, enjoy it, just go on a ride? Like those are two different levels.
Yeah. And I think that's what's hard, is because I go into these I want to go out and being like shook and feeling some type of way about these. And yeah, they're cool popcorn movies and they're very entertaining. They're great fun from start to end. But I don't take away anything from it. And that's what I've liked about the horror films I like, is I take away – I've seen this movie Martyrs that I thought about it for 3 days. I'm like, wow, life has no meaning. You know, I want something to make me walk away thinking about it. And I rarely get that from these movies. And that's just me as a film fan. So that's why I never want to put down these movies as they're a piece of shit and no one should ever watch them. No, I just don't really enjoy them because it's not my personal taste. So we talked about it a little bit before. We all go into a baggage with it. I'm just being open about my baggage. You are too. You're saying I want great comic book movies because I look at comic books. Do I think that's fair that you're judging comic book movies? Because I think you're biased and you're going to love them. So it's interesting that we all have bias.
No, I see. It's not, we all bring bias to it. But I like what I do is I transition it from a comic book to big screen. Like, okay, was this a comic book? Yes, it was. Like this was a comic book. This was a complete comic book. To where like I thought, and I hate to go back to DC because I don't want to be DC versus Marvel, but like Suicide Squad felt very erratic to me. Like it felt like I went from issue 1 to issue 3 to issue 2 to issue 4 to issue, you know, back to 2, then the 6, and then we're done. Like I felt like it was kind of all over the place. But Doctor Strange was a very fluid film, and I guess with my bias, I can kind of parlay where there's leaps in time, where they didn't explain time very well in this film. So Doctor Strange becomes powerful very quickly. And I know that Dewey mentioned this. It's like Iron Man, like he went through all those different suits and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, but that was still only like 5 minutes where he went from beta suit to the suit he was fighting the villain at the end. So I guess it's something you can fix because it literally was only 5 minutes in the film where he was going from point A to point B with his master plan of suits. And so maybe that was where they could have improved it a little bit more with the concept of time. You know, how long was he in there? You know, like, because if it was, again, and this is how you could have made the movie like amazing. Like if he was fighting Dormammu for a century and then he comes back with a century full of scars, mm-hmm. He's a completely changed character.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I actually really like how you were explaining how you go into these and seeing how the pacing and how the story is told, how it would translate to a comic book. I've never looked at it like that. And I actually really agree with your Suicide Squad analogy that it did feel like I went from issue 1 to issue 50 in a 30-minute movie, you know, 30-minute time span, where this one actually did feel like it had a natural progression. I want to put that into my brain going into these comic book movies because I actually really like that way of thinking about it because I don't really have that comic book background with it. So it's interesting to see how would this be paced on a smaller scale as opposed to I look at it as how are we going to tell this in a bigger version than before? How are we going to make this larger? I think we talked about it with Walking Dead is you couldn't just do one kill. That's what they did in the comic book. So if you do two kills, we amp it up for movies. So I think that's interesting that like we have this kind of reverse look on it. And I really like your point of view on that because – I noticed that even with Batman v Superman, something I really enjoy, that jumped around kind of really quickly of how we progressed the story. Where like a movie like Doctor Strange, it felt more natural.
Well, it comes from where people talk about like, oh, they killed my childhood when they made Transformers. And I'm like, I love the Transformers cartoon, but it isn't like cinema, you know, gold royalty. It's a cartoon. It's a Hanna-Barbera. It's a cartoon. And there are some really good episodes of Transformers, but there's nothing that was just like mind blowing. You know, the cartoon movie was probably the best where it came to like they just killed everybody off and everybody was just stunned. So when you transfer that to like Transformers the movie, like they're bad movies, but they're not that far removed from the cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely. You're adapting a campy comic, you know, campy cartoon to a campier, bigger, crazier movie. Yeah, I definitely think that happens, and I think that's how it should be. One, we talked about this, especially during Ghostbusters time. No movie, no TV show should ruin your childhood, quote unquote. I'm sorry, I have passions for this. I'm gonna be upset when they remake Buffy, but it's not gonna ruin what I spent loving Buffy with. So that's a fan mentality I really hope disappears soon because I don't think it's fair for products to ruin childhood. It's not like Michael Bay went back to your 6th birthday and shit on it.
But going back to Doctor Strange, I really like – because Doctor Strange for me seems like a 70s, late 60s psychedelic character. And they showed that really well in the film. Like I thought all the colors – were done really well. It was subtle without going over the top.
Which I was kind of worried about that. I do think it got excessive with some of like the mind bending crazy stuff until we started seeing the alternate dimensions, and I think that's when we changed it up. But yeah, I definitely think they did it well. And you said the color palette is so 70s. It's kind of it makes as soon as you see some of the colors, you're like, oh, that little kaleidoscope effect. It's really groovy. It has a 70s feel with still being set in I think probably like 2016, 2017. Right. So they did well with that.
And then it's definitely something you need to see in the IMAX theater. Like we saw it on a smaller screen. I was kind of disappointed. If it was on a bigger screen, I feel like I really would have enjoyed it more.
The 3D does go very well. I usually don't want to support 3D for every movie because I don't think every movie needs to be in 3D sometimes. But visuals like this, IMAX 3D would be flawless.
It was funny. The people behind us, like they were like, damn, man, it took me like 10 minutes for my eyes to adjust to what the fuck was going on in that film, like with the 3D glasses.
Yeah, it was weird. And, you know, so I don't want to say I get dizzy sometimes during this, but there was one moment where like he was falling and then the screen started crushing. And I'm like, whew, that was the only hard visual moment that I felt like a little motion sickness. So I was surprised they didn't get too Blair Witchy vertigo inducing with us. They did well with that.
But they also, and this is a major thing, they introduced the multiverse flawlessly, and then that opens up a huge can of worms in a good way of possibilities of universes and people coming in, and like Miles Morales from the Ultimate Universe. So you could have an African American Spider-Man show up in this universe. You could have crazy cool amalgamations of the Marvel universe now with what Doctor Strange presented, and it's very simple to do.
I was very happy because it reminds me of what DC TV did, where they kind of opened themselves up really organically and nicely to doing the different worlds and like Earth 22 or Earth 52. I thought that was really interesting, and I think this did that well. Is like, here's the way of even simply bringing the Guardians of the Galaxy into the movie quicker. You know, I was always like, how are we going to bring these guys into the MCU more organically? And this multiverse thing they set up here really did do that well.
What's your final rating on this, sir?
It's a 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10. It's not horrible. Like I always say, these aren't horribly produced movies. Just didn't like it. Still has the issues, but it's probably my favorite first solo outing from any Marvel character yet.
Better than Iron Man?
I think better than Iron Man. I think just because of the mystic arts element, more as opposed to the war political thing what Iron Man had, I kind of like this one a little bit more.
Because that Iron Man is like my number one MCU film. So you're saying that Doctor Strange is better than my number one MCU film?
Yes, because you don't like my number one MCU film that much. Well, you don't think it's like...
What is your number one MCU film?
Winter Soldier, without a doubt, 100%.
That's number three. One. It's number three on my list. I have Iron Man 1, I have Guardians 2, and I have Winter Soldier 3, and then I have the actual Captain America film, and then I have Doctor Strange 5.
I definitely think Doctor Strange came up for me, like... I know I went into this with a closed mind, but I went into it knowing that there was going to be elements I liked, Tilda Swinton, Benedict Cumberbatch, the Mystics. So the things I was happy for, I was very glad it was done well because it was really cool in that aspect. But it still unfortunately has its flaws that I want them to change just to make me love a movie. But yeah, so I think it's interesting that I did place this higher than your number one movie.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. And we always have to give a shout out to Chad as our super fan because I'm looking forward to see what his review is for this week.
Yeah, I love that he comments on it, and hopefully he comments on it after he sees the movie so he can kind of touch on some of the points with us. So awesome.
Well, since you just said that, he'll probably listen to it, watch the film, then come back and then comment again because that's how cool Chad is. And if you want to be the super fan of the week, all you have to do is comment on our podcast. It's really simple, very easy. EJ, I think next week we get back on the Walking Dead train.
Yeah, Walking Dead train. You know, we'll talk about the interesting episode they had this week and now what that looks like a Daryl episode next week. Yeah, can't wait for Walking Dead again.
All right, man. You have a good weekend.
Thank you, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode. Oh, no!
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation after the show. Follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram at monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew Sardo. My co-host EJ is also on Twitter at EJ Christ with a K. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on SoundCloud. If you have a chance, we will greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. All you Android users out there, listen to the show on Stitcher or Google Play. Yeah, Google Play. That's a thing now. Additionally, there's this great app called TuneIn. Listen to every radio station in the world, plus the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the 98th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots a success. Special shout out to my co-host DJ Marino for putting up with me. DJ. It is DC. Jeff Shea is creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkeys Fighting Robots logo. Are you a monkey or are you a robot? The staff Visual Realm built our website and keeps us up running. To all my friends, family, and the interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.